Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
I do. It's the wrap-up.
It is.
For Ezra.
We're saying goodbye to Ezra, but not really, but kind of.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We completed the book of Ezra.
Right.
And now we are wrapping that shit up.
We are wrapping it up.
Yep. Okay, let's go do it.
Okay, let's do it. Oh, we should mention.
Huh? What?
We were late getting this out again.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. I just started a part-time job, and after only one day, and it wasn't even a 8-hour shift, it's only a 4-hour shift.
Wife's overwhelmed.
I'm like, oh my God, I don't have time for anything. So, but I mean, I also babysit a lot. So even if I'm not working, it's not like I'm at the house. So.
Right.
Yeah. So my schedule immediately was like, oh my God, I need to do X, Y, and Z, and I have to be in bed before midnight because I got to get up at 6 a.m. And...
Wife was legit panicking.
Yeah, I had a full-blown anxiety attack tonight. And...
So we're going to do better. We're going to plan ahead better. Yeah. And hopefully going forward, we won't be as dumb with our schedule.
Honestly, we're better when we're pressed for time. And so this will probably force us to record ahead, which is what we've wanted to do.
Right.
But, you know, if you don't have to.
Life's life, you know.
Yeah, well, if you don't have to, what's the point? Like, we can talk about how we want to be.
But... Yeah.
But now we have to. So, yay.
Yeah.
That's the silver lining.
All right.
Okay.
So, all right. Let's go ahead and get into this wrap up for Ezra.
Yes. Yes, Ezra. Bye.
Hold up. With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so we are saying goodbye to Ezra.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, he has more than one name.
Does he?
He does, because...
I have more than one name.
Well...
I have two first names. I have a hyphenated first name.
You have a hyphenated first name and then a middle name as well as a last name.
Right, right.
Yeah. You're like...
I have too many fucking names.
You really do. And every time somebody says, what's your middle name? I always see you pause because you're like, wait. Not the hyphen, not the second one.
Well, because I used to treat them as two middle names. And yeah. I don't know.
You decided to hyphenate the first one?
Well, no. My parents decided to hyphenate the first one. I mean, that is a hyphenated first name.
See, I didn't know that because you did not used to hyphenate them when we first got together.
Right, because I went through, there's not really, on most forms, there's not a place for a fucking hyphen.
Right.
My parents did me no favors, you know?
No, I know. And they did it on purpose to buck the system.
Right, right.
Like, thanks for that.
Yeah.
Couldn't I decide if I want to buck that system?
Whatever. It is what it is.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
So. Plus, my second first name would make for a good writer name.
It really would.
I mean, I'm just saying.
No, I love your second.
Yeah, actually, name. I'll go ahead and give my second name.
Why?
Just my, what, no?
Okay, whatever.
No, never mind, I won't do it then.
Go. Fine. I think I'm not doing weird. It. It's weird.
Okay.
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I just thought it, because no one's going to know who the fuck I am like that, you know.
But we're being anonymous.
Oh, okay.
All right. Remember?
I'm going to continue to be anonymous then.
Remember that?
All right.
Okay.
Fine.
Anyways, Ezra's not anonymous, and... he is known by several different names, one of which is Estrus.
Okay.
And, that is his Greco-Latin name.
Okay.
Okay. And that's important because there are several different versions of the Book of Ezra.
Okay. Okay. Yep.
And I'll get back to him in a minute. He's also known as Ezra the Scribe.
Oh.
Because, you know, he scribed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ezra the priest, because there's some arguments about whether he was a high priest or not.
I see.
Yeah.
And it seems like he might have been. He got sent back to, like, mm-hmm. kind of organize the priestly things.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it.
Sure.
It doesn't really affect me anyway, one
right,
or the other.
Right.
But he is a Jewish scribe and priest, obviously. And he's the descendant of Sariah.
Okay.
Isn't that important?
Is it?
No. I don't know who the fuck that is.
I was like, I don't remember.
Yeah, no.
If that's somebody I was supposed to remember, I don't remember who it is.
No, I don't either. It's that guy was the last high priest to serve in the first temple.
Okay.
He's also a close relative of Joshua, which is the first high priest of the second temple.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So he's cool or whatever.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that Esdras thing.
Esdras, the Greek version thing of him.
The Greco-Latin.
Greco-Latin.
Yeah. So, in 1st Esdras, which is the Greek translation of the Book of Ezra, still in use in Eastern Orthodoxy.
Okay.
He was also the high priest. But rabbinic tradition holds that he was just an ordinary member of the priesthood.
Oh.
So,
okay.
Like I said, priest or high priest? Priest, high priest.
We don't know.
Doesn't matter.
Not really, I guess.
Not to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in rabbinic traditions, Ezra is metaphorically referred to as the, quote, flowers that appear on the earth, signifying the springtime in the national history of Judaism.
Which okay.
Makes sense. Like, he brought them into the old new world.
Yeah, sure. You know? Right.
Whatever. The book of Ezra-Nehemiah, so Ezra-Nehemiah, is one scroll. We've talked about that before.
Right.
But remember, Ezra also... started where Second Chronicles left off.
Right.
So that would mean that First and Second Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah were originally one book.
Gotcha. Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, Ezra Nehemiah is one scroll, and in late medieval Christian Bibles, the single book was divided in two as first and second Ezra.
Okay.
But then this division became the Jewish practice in the first printed Hebrew Bibles. So instead of seeing Ezra and then Nehemiah, you'll see first Ezra and then second Ezra.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. But there's also that Idris thing.
Okay.
Where in those Greco-Latin Bibles of Eastern Orthodoxy.
Right.
Those are Esdras. Like, okay. And those will be like, instead of First Chronicles, Second Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, it would be like First Ezra's, Second Esdras, Third Esdras, Fourth. Like, so it's like the books are kind of the same-ish, but numbered differently.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because First Chronicles and Second Chronicles are not written by the same person that wrote Ezra.
Well,
at least as far as I can tell.
Some people say that maybe it was.
Really?
Yeah. It seems
different to me.
But some people say that Ezra was the author of at least Second Chronicles, if not First as well.
Okay. Well, so, I mean, I'm no expert.
We had talked about that during Chronicles, though, that
yeah.
we hadn't met him yet, but the next book is Ezra.
Okay.
And we're pretty sure he's the author.
Got it. Okay.
So, it is different because
maybe it's just the different stories.
It's different stories, different time periods, and he hits first person in Ezra.
Right, that's true.
So, that's...
And it's not just a list of fucking, you know,
yeah,
the previous histories or whatever.
Exactly.
So it was rather boring in that bit. This is more story-oriented.
He's like, and then...
Right.
Anyways, let's talk about me for a minute. Just a minute.
Yeah.
So, okay, the book of Ezra describes... I'm just going to summarize it here real quick, okay?
Yep.
It describes how Ezra was living in Babylon when, in the seventh year of Artaxerxes I, the king of Persia...
Persia,
yeah, not okay. Prussia.
Right.
Persia, which was circa 457 BCE.
Okay.
Okay. That king sent him to Jerusalem to teach the laws of God to any who did not know them. So Ezra led a group of Judean exiles living in Babylon to their home city of Jerusalem, where he enforced observance of the Torah. Right.
Okay.
But once back in Jerusalem, Ezra and the exiles discovered that Jewish men have been marrying non-Jewish women and making mingle babies.
Yeah, that commingling shit, man.
The mingle babies were born. Crazy. Oh, my God.
Crazy.
And we remember all of that. And we had a Q&A about, wait, did they have to kill their wives?
Right.
No, they just divorced them and sent them on their way. But most of them converted.
Right.
Yeah. So in the apocalyptic fourth book of Ezra... And just as a reminder, apocalyptic doesn't mean like the end of the world in this sense. It means not in canon.
Okay.
It's a historical scroll in the world, yes, but Churchy Pookins has decided it's not part of the official Bible.
Right.
Okay, so that's what we mean by apocalyptic.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So the fourth book of Ezra, which is also sometimes called either the second or third book of Esdras,
okay,
depending on which... you know,
yeah,
thing it is. So, okay, according to that book, the apocalyptic fourth book of Ezra, Ezra has a 7-part prophetic revelation. Okay.
Okay.
And he converses with an angel of God 3 times.
Okay.
And then he has 4 visions.
Mm.
Okay. I don't know what all that's about. It wasn't summarized, but like I could have gone into that rabbit hole probably, and I might eventually.
Is this coming up in the next book?
No.
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 Okay.
No, this is just a thing that's missing because it's apocalyptic. Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. So Ezra, 30 years into the Babylonian exile, recounts the siege of Jerusalem and the destruction of Solomon's temple.
Okay. Okay.
So that's what all those visions and dreams, like, it's during that.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
He, in this book, we're still talking about this apocalyptic book. He dictates 24 books for the public, which is the Hebrew Bible.
Okay.
And another 70 for the wise alone. And those 70 are unnamed revelatory works.
Interesting.
So we don't know what those are.
That's
really... Or if they really existed. Or
right.
If they were just legend.
Sure.
You know? Like, I heard that he wrote 70 books. No, I heard he wrote 80. Nuh-uh. He wrote 70, you guys. you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So at the end of this whole story that's in this apocalyptic book, he is taken up to heaven like Enoch and Elijah. Ezra is seen as a new Moses in this book.
Oh.
Which, I mean, I kind of alluded to that when I said the new spring, because he's bringing his people into the old new land.
Right, yeah.
Or the new old land.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So that's the end of that apocalyptic book, okay?
Okay. All right.
Traditionally, Judaism credits Ezra with establishing the Great Assembly of Scholars and Prophets, which is the forerunner of the Sanhedrin,
okay,
which is the authority on matters of religious law. Like, they're the guys that sit down and decide, when are we actually all going to celebrate Easter? 1, 2, 3, go. Let's just all get on the same page.
Sure.
They're like the church rules.
Right.
Okay.
Technically, the Jews don't celebrate Easter.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm just saying, like, the Sanhedrin is the boss.
Got it.
It's a collection of people who sat down together to make decisions to try to make all the churches in a larger area operate
more cohesively.
Thank you. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
More cohesive. And so traditional Judaism credits Ezra with establishing the original format of that.
Got it. Where they did not discuss Easter.
Right. Shut up. Get the fuck out of here. According to the Babylonian Talmud.
Yeah.
Ezra the scribe is said to have enacted 10 standing laws and orders.
Oh.
And I summarized these because I was going to just skip one, but then I was like, I got to say these.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
So Ezra in this particular Bible is like, okay, I have 10 rules. Like Moses had 10 commandments.
Yeah,
I have 10 rules.
Okay.
Okay. Ready?
All right, yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, the public has to come together to read from the scroll of the law in the afternoon on Sabbath days for anyone who may have missed the weekly biblical lections, like the weekday lections.
Got it.
So like if you were like a loiterer or a traveling merchant or something.
Yeah.
You might have had a really good reason to miss it.
Sure, but you got to show up on
you
the Sabbath.
You better fucking show up on the Sabbath,
right?
Because they're out there reading it.
Sure.
On the fucking Sabbath.
Right.
Which makes no sense because
that's work.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny.
Right.
Like, come let us read this rule book, which says don't do that.
Technically, though, they've always done festivals and stuff on the Sabbath. It's
yes.
just there's certain things that are considered
yes.
work that you're not allowed to do on those days. But
right.
celebrating the Lord is okay.
Depending on how you do it.
Right.
Yes. So anyway, you have no excuse for having ever missed any weekly readings.
Sure. Okay.
Number two.
Unless you were unclean, probably.
But then you can go catch up another day after you get cleaned
up. What if you're unclean for like 2 weeks?
Well, then what the hell did you do to piss off the Lord?
Well, there was lots of things that kept you unclean for a couple of weeks.
I know.
Least,
so why were you so unclean?
Clearly, I don't know.
Did bad things and you got what was coming to you. So that's your own fault.
Got it.
Okay, number two.
Yeah.
The court's got to be open on Mondays and Thursdays.
Court's got to be open on
gotta
Mondays.
Got to be open. I don't fucking know why.
That's a law. That's a rule.
That's a rule.
That's an Ezra
according
thing.
According to this particular.
Ezra the scribe says Mondays and Thursdays every day
gotta
on
be,
those days.
Yes, bank got to be open.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three, and a lot of these apply to women.
Okay.
Women got to get their laundry done by Thursday.
What the fuck?
No, let me, actually this one, I had to say it that way because it was funny. But now, actually, they had, like, a legit good reason for it.
Okay.
Because, obviously, they didn't have washers and dryers. So,
right.
This was, like, a, you know, days-long process.
Sure.
And if they didn't have it done by Thursday, then they risked having it run into
the Sabbath.
The Sabbath.
Ah.
So, get your shit done by Thursday, ladies.
Right.
And we know it's only the ladies that does the laundry.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay, actually, that one makes sense. It's not just an arbitrary. But it's funny.
Right.
Okay, number four. This one I love. Men gotta eat garlic on the eve of the Sabbath to enhance love between a man and a woman so they can do the brown chicken, brown cow and, you know, make them babies.
Right, right.
Because that's the most important.
That garlic does the trick.
Yeah. Well, they believed cooked garlic
enhanced
that. Like
okay.
It was an aphrodisiac to them, I guess, or whatever.
Yeah.
Number five. Are you loving these rules?
They're great. Yeah.
I know. Like, you can see why I had to summarize
right,
these.
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, women got to rise up early on Friday mornings to get that bread baked.
Gotta rise up.
Thought that too when I was writing it.
Yeah.
They have to bake bread so that there's enough for the poor. Because every time they bake bread, like, they'll leave out whatever pieces, like, if there's any burnt pieces, in the Hunger Games. Right.
It's like they left the droppings on their fields for the poor, too.
Exactly. So they got to get up early on Friday so that on the Sabbath.
So it seems like a lot of these rules are only pertaining to the rich and housed of the society.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And the women.
Right, right.
Women, get your work done in a certain day, and it's all guarded, like, around the Sabbath. Like, all of this is live your life around the Sabbath. Plan accordingly.
Well, and because it seems like when we're hearing these stories, every time we hear them, they're about people that have means. They have things to sacrifice. They have houses. They have servants, for God's sake. Slaves. So they have money, you know? We're not hearing about the poor.
Right.
You never fucking hear about the poor.
No, you do not. Now, this one I really liked. Number 6. Women gotta be girded with a wide belt out of modesty.
Oh.
A wide belt.
Okay.
They gotta wear a belt and it gotta be wide.
So
you gotta
pull that in, huh?
Cinch your waist.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, ladies.
Can't have any fat women.
Well, it's out of modesty, meaning the reason that you wear your wide belt is to prevent any possibility of showing any skin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Whatever all that shit is.
Oh, okay.
But,
right.
Yeah. It's supposed to be out of modesty, so it's to keep your clothing in place.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's not to accentuate how thin you are. Like,
okay.
That would not be modesty.
Got it. Okay.
So, actually, the opposite of what you said.
Got it.
Okay. Number 7. Women during their menses, you know, their period,
right?
You know, their monthly cycle.
Yep.
Yep. They need to wash and comb their hair 3 days prior to the purification in a ritual bath.
Okay.
They better take care of their hair.
Better brush that hair.
And they did not specify whether they meant the hair on their head or elsewheres. And I only mention that because they're talking about periods here.
Right, right.
And I'm like, do you mean that they better keep all their hair in places?
Right.
Keep it nice?
Who knows?
Who knows? Right? Like, for all I know, they actually did mean, like, bush, you know? What the fuck do I know?
It's true.
Okay. Number 8. Traveling merchants got to make regular rounds into the Jewish township because of the honor due to the daughters of Israel.
What? Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Explain that a little bit.
Because they have to, like, come into town to see the daughters so that they can maybe get married to them or...
The merchants.
Yeah.
Okay.
Traveling merchants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So the merchant... Okay. I'm a little lost on that one, but okay.
They got to come into the townships.
To marry girls.
Or to sell to them, to sell their wares.
Okay. Yeah. Okay? All right.
They need to make sure... To come into the Jewish townships.
The merchants got to come into town.
Yeah.
We're not going to go meet you out on the road. You got to come
into town. You got to come into town and see our daughters.
And yeah. Okay.
Our daughters want to buy your shit and maybe they want to marry you.
Maybe.
Be respectful. Come into fucking town.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I don't know. I'm making up reasons. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number 9. Women and or girls, as a precautionary measure, and I don't know against what... Got to be accustomed to conversing with one another while one of their party goes out to relieve herself in the outhouse. So
you fall into the shitter?
I don't know. I'm in a group of friends, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, dudes, I got to pee.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it means I have to take somebody with me to the potty and, like, we chat together.
That's what it sounds like,
or
right?
Or if... I'm like, okay, you guys chat amongst yourselves and make sure you're comfortable chatting. I'm going to go pee over here now. Bye.
Sounds more like you got to chat with them while you're taking, you know, a dump.
Right.
Or whatever.
Like, come with me to pee pee.
I mean, they had outhouses. So maybe it was like in case you fell in, right?
I literally do not know. It doesn't say precautionary measure.
Maybe in case there's a man that's waiting out there, you know.
That was the only thing I could think is... Against the possibility of Rapey McGee
right.
coming up, and because that happens so regularly that fucking Ezra had to make a rule about it.
Right.
Now, boys, no rape because, you know.
But just to make sure, girls, you travel in pairs.
Yeah, you guys buddy system. Right. Who's your buddy?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's one of the 10 fucking rules.
Right.
Is don't be alone when you pee, girls.
Got it.
Chat.
Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah.
And that is why women go to the bathroom in groups today. No, just kidding. Okay. Number 10. Ready? This is my favorite.
Okay. You just said that about the last one.
I know.
Or whatever. One of the last ones.
They're all my favorites.
Okay.
Okay. But this one, as the last one, is my favorite.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Men who may have suffered a seminal emission. For anybody curious about what that means, a wet dream at night can be helped.
Right.
Parentheses, especially after accompanying their wives.
Okay.
Apparently, after you fuck your wife that night, you may be more likely to have a wet dream.
Okay.
I don't know how that works. Sure. Not burying a penis.
Whatever.
I don't know if you're more likely or less likely.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. So men who may have suffered a seminal emission, particularly after getting their fuck on, are required to immerse themselves in a ritual bath before being permitted to read from the scroll of the law.
I mean, it's always not a good idea to take a bath after, you know, sex, I would say.
But it's not, right. And, I totally agree with you.
Whatever.
But it doesn't even say men who have suffered wet dreams. It says who may have suffered.
Got
if
it.
You even think you might that might have happened to you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If there's even the slightest, no. Go take your fucking bath.
Okay.
Now, I would think that they're hardworking people. They should probably bathe every day anyways. But I'm betting
but it's not as easy for them to bathe as the ritual is for
bath.
Us,
but they're talking about the ritual bath. And that's different from taking a regular bath.
Got it.
You know?
Yeah.
Like all of the hoopla that goes into like cleansing.
Well, yeah, because technically they're unclean after that as well.
Well,
so.
They're always unclean because you're born a sinner. You know, you suck, go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that is what I have for you today.
Okay.
I thought we would end on those
Ezra's 10 rules.
Ezra's 10 rules that are not in our Bible.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, that wraps up Ezra, and we'll be heading into, we're going to do a contradictions episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then, we'll be heading into Nehemiah, right?
Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. We will see you guys then.
Yep.
Bye. Bye. Hey wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip? elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.